Amen. Had good liberty this morning to preach, and just appreciate what God's going to do and what He has done, and His word will never return void. It'll accomplish what He sent it to do. Amen. Proverbs 28, and you've had it said, I know, or heard it said, but do good to read a lot of the Proverbs. I think it'd be good to do that. The wisest man ever lived outside of Jesus Christ wrote it. And that would be Solomon. And the book of Proverbs is, it's really a library of resources and a wealth of wisdom, teaching you and dealing with life's issues. I don't know really of anything in life that Proverbs doesn't deal with. You know, if anything we need and we're encouraged in the Bible to pray for is wisdom. We're encouraged to pray for wisdom, and the book of Proverbs deals with wisdom to great extent. And a whole list of things that's dealt with through the book of Proverbs. And there's 31 chapters, and that's about a chapter a day. I know some in our church reads a chapter a day in the book of Proverbs, along with their other reading of the scripture. Chapter 28 of Proverbs, verse number 4. The Bible says, they that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. I want to read it again. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for the reading of your precious word. Forgive us, Lord, for our failure in our relationship to the word of God, not studying it as we should, not reading it as we should, memorizing it as we should, declaring it to others as we should. Father, I pray you'd help us to never underestimate the power of the Word of God. Lord, it'll work in us. It'll work on us. It'll work through us. And it'll work for us. I pray this evening that you will guide our thoughts. Help us to say no more, no less than, God, what you design and desire. I pray that you will put that special anointing, that special touch on us that makes preaching effective. And Lord, I am not here, Lord, to please myself. I am not here to please man. I am here, Lord, to please you. Lord, help me to honor you with the Word of God. I thank you for speaking to us this morning. And we trust, Lord, that people got some help. And Lord, use the message to encourage us and to conform us to your image. And again, we pray, guide our thoughts. Lord, help us to be focused, Lord, on what you would have us to say. Lord, I know that preaching is a spiritual task and requires spiritual enablement and power. And Lord, I thank you for the good testimonies, the good songs of Zion that was sung tonight. And we pray you'll help this church to reach forth unto the next level, to go higher and further and deeper with God than ever before. I pray you will stir us up to not be content with being just normal, usual, and average. But help us, Lord, to desire to be filled with the Spirit of God. And our lives, Lord, counting for Jesus. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to glean and learn the truths that are in this verse of Scripture that you have so chosen and brought to our attention for us to preach on in these services. Your will to be done, and we'll give you the glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think it would do us well to read it again. I was thinking this afternoon about this verse of Scripture. Most of us in this church, I'm sure, have read this verse, but probably read over it or just kind of read through it. But I'd say after we get done with it, after God gets done with it, I doubt we'll forget it. Amen. We might be able to quote it like we do Psalms 115, verse 1. Amen. But anyway, I hope God will really, really drive it home in our hearts what is stated in this verse. And there's more there in this verse than meets the eye, I promise you that. But anyway, God helped me to preach it and get it out as what He would desire. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. I started this morning preaching a message on praising the wicked. What a term. What a statement. I mean, that doesn't even sound like it would even be possible or practical. But it's in the Bible. So it is possible. There is a potential that a person can get in a place where they're being used in their life to praise the wicked. Amen. Now, I could spend this service and 1,000 services talking about how worthy Jesus is of praise. I mean, we could spend the rest of our physical life talking about how worthy that Jesus is to be praised. And praise comes out of a life. Praise doesn't just come off of lips. Praise comes out of a life. If the life is not there, a life of praise, then more than likely there'll not be the lips of praise either. But I can't get a hold of what this verse says, praising the wicked, or praise the wicked. Of all people on planet Earth that would not deserve any praise, it would be the wicked. Wouldn't you not agree with that? I mean, out of all the people, I mean, you take all the people on planet Earth, and they're all forms, shapes, colors, and sizes, and nationalities, and everything, but I cannot see those two terms going together. They are conflicting terms. Wicked and praise doesn't sound like it ought to be. But the Bible shows us in this verse of Scripture that a person... And I believe that a nation, we talked about that this morning, and I believe a church can get in a condition, my friend, where they are praising the wicked. Amen. Praising the wicked. Notice the Bible says, they that forsake the law praise the wicked. And so we're going to deal with that as the Lord will help us tonight, and I don't know that we'll get too far. But I want to get far enough. I'm interested, first of all, tonight, in the prerequisite for this praise. What is necessary? What is the foundation? What is the groundwork that must be in a person's life, a family's life, a nation's life, that would bring about even the potential of praising the wicked? I believe it's stated right here in the very first statement of verse 4, they that forsake the law. Now, we just kind of mentioned that this morning. We just kind of bumped on it a little bit this morning in passing, because we dealt with some other things. But here, the prerequisite is laid out before there can ever be praise of the wicked. There's got to be the forsaking of the law. Are you listening? Now think about it. We're going to travel through this verse slowly. We're going to dig it out and travel through it slowly. But think about what is suggested by that statement, they that forsake the law. That implies a people, a person that once held it true. How can you forsake something that you were never true to? How can you forsake something you were never involved with? How can you forsake something that was not big in your life or a part of your life? So the implication is, this same crowd, that their lives as well as their lips are being used to praise the wicked, at one time possibly carried their Bible and read their Bible and thought much of their Bible. The law here spoken of is our Bible. It is God's Word. It is what God says do and don't do. Amen. The law. And I'm glad it said the law, not a law. when that definite article thee is placed there, my friend, they that forsake the law shows us that definite article thee is placed there to identify this law as being the only one of its kind. Amen. Amen. So the prerequisite, my friend, of praising the wicked. Now this is going to get, like I said, there probably won't be much shouting on this message. But God's wanting to help us with it. I'm confident. I said it this morning. I don't believe God sent this message to RBT to defeat us and discourage us. I don't believe God sent the message. I don't believe He sends any message for that purpose. I believe depression is of the devil. I believe defeat and discouragement is of the devil. I don't think there's a thing spiritual about it. And we all battle those things. We all battle those things. But I don't believe it's of God. Amen. Amen. When you get discouraged, I don't believe that's of God. And when you get all down in the dumps, I don't think that's of God. I think that's of flesh. I think that's a devil. Amen. And so on and so forth. But the Bible shows us here that they that forsake the law, before there can ever be the praise of the wicked, my friend, there's got to be injury done in your life, in your relationship to the Word of God. Now I want to tell you something, friend. Don't take it lightly. God help us all to hear it. Don't take it lightly when you go a day without reading the Bible. Don't take it lightly and don't look at it as, that's not really no biggie, not really no big deal. You need to know that this that's revealed in our text verse is already one day in the happening. It's already one day in the happening. And the same one that brought about that first day of not reading the Bible is after a second day and a third day and the fourth day and so on. And the more days that He can put in your life that you are not having this Bible, God's law in your life, is one day closer to you becoming the candidate of praising the wicked. Now, a lot of people don't like this Bible, but God's people does. And I'm going to tell you why that most people do not like to read the Bible, because it reads them. Amen. A lot of people don't like to read the Bible because it is of no respect of person. What it says that's wrong with my life will say it's wrong with your life. Amen. Amen. And can I say this? A lot of people don't want it in their life because it is the law. And if you don't want the law in your life, God's Word in your life, then you or I or anyone else that do not want the law in your life, and there is a severance between you and the law, a forsaking between you and the law, guess where you're headed? To lawlessness. Brother Bob, thank you, brother. And Brother Clipper, thank you for the years of service that you've spent into the law enforcement. Appreciate it. Can you imagine what America would be with no law? Every man doing that which is right in his own eyes. Amen. Everybody would be a law to themselves. Basically what Brother Mark's been teaching on the emerging church or postmodernism. Amen. Everybody just... what's right to you is right, whether anybody else agrees with it, whether it contradicts the Bible, amen. That's humanism. But, amen. But ladies and gentlemen, the law keeps down lawlessness. And I don't know about you. Well, I do know about you. I started to say I didn't know about you, but I do know about you because you have the same flesh that I do. And I want to tell you, the basic drive and the basic nature of your flesh is lawlessness. You don't have to be 40 to be rebellious. I want to tell you, a child in diapers is rebellious. You start putting restraints on them and telling them don't and quit and stop, and they'll pitch tantrums. Amen. They'll challenge you. They'll dare you. Amen. I remember Blake in the walker pushing around in the living room floor in South Carolina. And we just live in a little small house. And I mean, I'm not kidding. The living room wasn't half as big as the choir. So there's very little room to move, but he had pushed that walker over to the little shelf there that had pictures and little gadgets and whatnot on it, amen. And he'd stick that hand out to get some of that. If you go in a house and everything is this high off the floor, there is a lawless youngin' in that house. Amen. Amen. We never put nothing up. Mom and Daddy never put nothing up. They put us up. Amen. And I still remember, and I'm talking about Blake in diapers in a walker, can't even walk yet. He'd put that hand out to get it, and Lisa'd pop that hand. He'd pull it back. And he'd sit there and not move, Brother Mike, and he'd look at her and he'd go. Look at her and he'd go. And she'd pop it again and pull it back. And it wouldn't be just a few seconds, Miss Jan. You know what that is? That's rebellion, friend. That's rebellion. Lawlessness is the nature of your flesh. You don't want no... Listen, come on now. You don't want no law. Your flesh don't want no law. It wants to do as it pleases. It wants to do as it pleases, and it does not want a parent to tell it no. It does not want a preacher to tell it no. It does not want a Bible to tell it no. Amen. But they that forsake the law, can I say this tonight? One of the worst things you could ever do in your life is to get away from this book. One of the worst things you could ever do in your home, worst thing we could ever do in our church, is to take our ministry away from the emphasis of God's law. Amen. Why? Because they that forsake the law does the unthinkable, praise the wicked. We've got to have it. I've got to have it. I don't want it every time I go to church somebody to bust my hide and preach a hide off of me every time I go to church, but I want to tell you, I've got to have it. I know this morning was rough and tonight probably will be, and if we don't get done, there's no glory in this message. None. Zero. But I'm not preaching it because it's fun. I'm not preaching because it's a pleasure to the flesh. I'm preaching it, one, ultimately, because God said so. And I'm preaching it because I need it. I'm preaching it because you need it. We all need it. Why? Because that flesh of yours is not saved. Your flesh is still wicked. Your flesh is still depraved. I want to tell you, you give it an inch and it'll take a mile. Your flesh is still capable and still craves everything that it ever did before or everything that it wants to do now. You got to keep it, my friend, under subjection. Paul's talking about using that fire illustration in Corinthians. He's talking about that he beat his body into subjection. Amen? Because he knew that if you give your flesh what it wants, then it will take away from you what God wants. We better heard that statement right there. If you give the flesh what it wants, we take away what the Spirit wants in our life. And I'm going to tell you this, dear friend. Are you listening? What the Spirit wants is far deeper, far higher, far greater than what the flesh could ever want. Oh, you think about the pleasures that you lived for when you was lost. How temporal. and how trivial and how almost nothing that it was. But yet now, look, after being saved, look at some of those spiritual experiences. I mean, look at some of those. Amen. I'm telling you, it's far greater. Amen. Oh, yes. But we've got to have the law. We've got to have it printed. And we've got to have it preached. And we've got to have it practiced. And we've got to have it proclaimed. Say amen. Amen. The law. The prerequisite, Brother Mark, of praise. If we're going to praise the wicked, and why? Why would anybody want to do that? Why would anybody? Now keep in mind. Now listen, I'm going to travel slow sometimes. And repeat some sometimes. Why would anybody step away from the law? And us knowing, we know, because we know this verse, knowing the results is going to be praising the wicked. Now listen, come on now. Hello? Are you listening? The forsaking here is not accidental, it's intentional. They that forsake the law, praise the wicked. Forsaking the law here, and I'm going to deal with it in a little bit, in depth. But they that praise the law, they that forsake the law, that's intentional. That is a matter of choice. You'll never, as a child of God, backslide because you were made to. You'll never get out of church because you was made to. Amen. You'll never quit reading your Bible because you was made to. You'll never quit praying because you was made to. You do so when you choose to. And most of the time when there is a choice to turn away from that that is spiritual is because there is a desire for something in its place called carnal, flesh. They that forsake the law praise the wicked. Watch this right here. I just seen this. They that forsake the law. God just clumps them all together, all of them together, and says, they that forsake the law. Brother Matt, look at this. There's no good, better, and best in that group. There is no, I'm not as bad as they are deal. God clumps everybody together, describes us all as they that forsake the law. And that same crowd that's classified as the they as that forsakes the law are the same they that will praise the wicked. Now, listen, come on now. The wicked loves attention. The wicked loves support. And we're going to get into that definition of that word praise. And it will blow your socks off when you find out, as I did studying it, what it really means and how deep and how sinful that it is. How wicked that it is. Amen. And I'm hoping that God will work it all in our hearts to where there will be an extreme rejection against praising the wicked or even getting in a condition to praise the wicked. Amen. Of all people that wicked people should look at and say, they're for me. Shouldn't be the church. It shouldn't be God's people. Hey, the wicked look at you and say, they like me. They're for me. They're patterning their life after me. They want to be like me. I'm their hero. Shame on you. Shame on anybody that that the wicked can look at you and see that you are following their pattern. You are adjusting your life after them. That is a big part of what it means to praise the wicked. But it's even far deeper than that. But we're talking about the prerequisites of praise. The prerequisite. Just get messed up in your relationship to the truth. God's law, God's word. And things will happen in your life and you'll be guilty of doing things such as in this verse, praising the wicked. I can't see myself doing that. I can't see myself doing that verbally. I can't see myself doing that visibly. I can't see myself doing that in attitude or in action. I can't see myself doing that. But it shows me right there that if we get away from God's Word and allowing the Word of God to be at a distance in our life, then we're becoming more and more day by day, moment by moment, we're becoming more and more candidates that's going to give praise to the wicked. And if you're giving praise to the wicked because of how it comes out of your relationship to the Word. If you forsake the law, that's your relationship to the Word. And then you start praising the wicked, you got the Word on one hand, and then you got the wicked on the other hand. If you go away from one, you're going toward the other. If there's a negative in your life toward the Word, then there'll be a positive in your life toward the wicked. Are you seeing it? But they that forsake the law praise the wicked. And we wonder why that our country is becoming so wicked. This Bible has been discarded. This Bible has been discredited. This Bible, my friend, has been discouraged in the lives of our young people. It used to be, I remember, I'm not that old either, and I remember it being read in school. I remember starting class off with the Scripture. But this Bible has been taken away from our children in school, in the school system. They've been taught all of their life that it's don't talk about that Bible. You know, you can cuss and use all kind of foul language, and you can listen to all kind of music that's hatched out of the bowels of hell, but don't talk about the Bible. Don't talk about anything religious, friend. That is not right. That is not so. Students have rights. Amen. Students have rights in the school system. Yes, sir. Amen, that's right. But they that forsake the law praise the wicked. People encourages that forsaking of the law because they want to encourage that lawlessness and that wickedness. So I believe God first is just really coming home and driving home the importance of your relationship to this book. Now I know where I'm at. I know where I'm at. I'm in RBT preaching. And I know what reputation this church has got in the area and in other states and even in other countries. I know what reputation it's got. But I guarantee you we got people that are members of this church that are messed up in your relationship to God's Word, and maybe nobody knows it. Are you listening? The point I believe God's trying to drive home here is don't make light of that. It's serious. Because that forsaking of the law, my friend, that getting crossed up with your relationship to the law, turning your back on it and not allowing it to be a vital, vital, crucial part of your daily diet and your daily appetite and your daily life, is turning you toward the wicked. And I'm going to show you at one point in the message, not tonight, but somewhere in the future, I'm going to show you that you do not just turn from the law, forsake the law, and praise the wicked. You will also be a participant. You don't just praise the wicked. You will participate. And this verse, I'm telling you, spoke and is speaking deeply to my heart. So let's go on. I'm not done with that point. In fact, we're probably just going to deal with this one the rest of the service. Some of you thought, man, I'm ready for point two. Preacher, just wipe the sweat off your face, amen, and swallow deeply and say, amen, preacher, just plow it on out. There's a thing right here on the pulpit that says, plow, preacher, plow. Amen. Let me deal with this. I'm not going to preach all night, but that word forsake, I'm talking about the prerequisite of praise. The prerequisite of praise. That word forsake, which is the prerequisite, it's what must be in your life before there can be the praise of the wicked. There's got to be a forsake. That word forsake means to leave, to loose, to let alone, to depart from, what, come on now, to neglect. Well, I'm not forsaken the law. I still go to church. I still have a Bible. I read it occasionally. The definition is neglect. And you've heard me say this, your relationship to the Word of God is your relationship to the God of the Word. Neglect. Is there anybody under conviction yet? Neglect, let go, leave behind. So that's what it means. All right, y'all ready? This is a part of how you study your Bible, and it's called the first mention principle. Everybody heard that? Everybody's heard of that? If you haven't, let me just explain that just for a second. There's a thing called hermeneutics, and I know that's a big long word that just simply means the science of Bible interpretation. Hermeneutics. It do people well to know how to study their Bible. There wouldn't be all the false doctrine being preached if they'd study their Bible. You don't just grab a verse and run with it. It's got to be in context. Amen. It's got to be in agreement. It's got to dovetail with the unity of the Word of God. If you got a verse over here that you says this, and over here's a verse that plainly and clearly says then you've got the wrong interpretation. But the first mention principle, that is a law in studying the Bible, is that you go and find the first time that word or that doctrine is mentioned in the Scripture. And that'll be the seedbed for that doctrine throughout the Scripture. I want us to go look at the first mention of the word forsake. Hang on. Let's turn to Genesis. Genesis is the seedbed of all the doctrines, major doctrines in the Bible. But let's turn to Genesis chapter, are y'all with me? Chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to find out what is mentioned. What is the idea? What is it that the writer, what is it that God has in mind here when He is talking to us about they that forsake the law? Genesis chapter 2, are you there? Say amen. Amen. Look at, and we could read several verses, but let's just read the one verse. Verse 24. See if you can identify the word. The same Hebrew word that's translated in our text as forsake is used in Genesis 2:24, the very first time this Hebrew word is used in our scripture. Genesis 2:24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife and they shall be one flesh. What word do you think it is? Leave. That's the same idea that's in our text. Now you can take the usage of it in Genesis 2:24, the setting and how it's used, and draw out the application to our text. In other words, let me help you with that. The first mention is found in Genesis 2:24. And in this passage, we find that the very word used to translate forsake in Proverbs 28:4 is translated here as leave in Genesis 2:24. And guess what? We find right off the bat that a person must leave one in order to cleave to another. We find right off the bat in the usage in the first mention principle that where there is a leaving, there will be a cleaving. If there is a leaving of the law, a forsaking of the law, it is because you have found a mate. Now, I'm not talking about a boyfriend or girlfriend. I'm talking about something or someone that has got your affection. And it's not, listen, it's not just a matter of forsaking the law. It's not just a matter of leaving the law, neglecting the law. If that's all it was, it'd still be bad. But that's not all there's going to be to it. They that forsake the law, leave. Praise the wicked, cleave. That's deep. Are you listening? So it's, amen? Oh, Lord, this thing, my mind, what little is up there, it's just going wide open, amen. I mean, you look at some people and you think, well, how in the world did they get in that mess? I can't believe that so-and-so that used to sit on his church pew is living like this. I can't believe that they would get in that shape. I can't believe that they would fall in love with this and with that. I can't believe they've got this practice in their life. You take the law out. You take the restraint out. You take the control out. Amen. Oh, no telling what you're going to cleave to. What you're going to cleave to. Now I know in the context of Genesis 2:24 it's talking about marriage. But if we took the same word, isn't it interesting that God uses the same word, Genesis 2:24, to talk about marriage and commitment and devotion and life change to describe what the process of forsaking the law and praising the wicked. Before I could ever cleave to Miss Alicia, I had to leave. I had to leave Mama. Now watch this. Now I'm not saying Alicia's wicked. All right, stay with me. Don't read into the illustration. Amen. Don't say what I'm not saying. But what I am saying is, when I was around Mama, there was law. There was law. I had somebody in my life telling me, don't do that. You can't do that. You're not dating this person. You're not going here. You're not running with this crowd. You're not listening to that kind of music. The law. Are you listening? But when I left that, then I, my friend, cleaved unto my wife. And you know what? The truth is, no longer did Mama tell me, you can't do that. Don't go there. You know why? I broke off from that. And me and my wife could do whatever we would choose to do. The law was gone. We left the law. And I'm cleaving. You young people, you think that all this preaching against sin and preaching separation, and you think all this is just light stuff? Oh, no. I'm trying to get you to stay with the law. Because the law is what will stand between you and a lawless lifestyle. You can't treat the law lightly and expect to make a wise choice choosing what's going to be in its replacement. If you leave something, you're going to cleave to something. And parents that do you well, amen, I would encourage you to keep some law at your house. And specifically, the law of God. The book of Deuteronomy talks about the parents teaching the Word of God to their children. Listen, now you know what I'm about to say is right. Most of this generation today knows nothing about the Bible. Are you listening? Parents has let Hollywood raise them, let the TV babysit them. My friend, let the public school system educate them. And my friend, God has been left out of the equation. Don't take them to the house of God. There's law. There's no law. There's no law. And then that same crowd, and I've been preaching 29 years, and I've heard the tears, I saw the tears, I've heard the weeping voices, my friend, talking about what they're cleaving to and what they're embracing. When there was no law here. When there was no law here. And I'm going to say something here. Both of what I'm about to say can be true in your life. You can raise a child right with law, the law of God, and they can still make a deliberate choice. They can make a deliberate choice to cleave to things that are displeasing to God. On the other hand, there's some children, some kids raised basically with a no law, do as you please deal. And somehow or another, God in grace has worked in that situation. They've gotten saved and they've chose to go with God even though they did not have really much encouragement in the house. But they that forsake the law, getting away from those... When I left the house, I got away from that authority. I got away from that authority. And I became one that made my own choices and decisions. Of course, praise God, I saved before I left the house. Amen. Amen. I'm trying to keep the message in line of our text. It's hard for me to not get on that and start preaching to young people about their mates and all that stuff. Amen. If you're not ready to cleave, you're not ready to leave. Amen. But I'm not preaching on that. I'm trying to preach on they that forsake the law praise the wicked. What is implied? A person leaves one, they're going to cleave to another. You get away from the things of God, get away from the house of God, get slack in the things of God, and you one day will look in the mirror and say unto God, how did I get in this mess? And I've made reference to this before at the church. I've got a handwritten, tear-stained letter at the house from a boy that I taught in Sunday school downstairs when we first came that sat on these pews and heard me preach time and time and time again, writing me a letter from inside of a prison cell. Ricky is his first name. And you know what he said in that letter? I wished I'd have listened, preacher. All the preaching you young people are being exposed to and all the teaching in Sunday school you're exposed to, and I hope and pray the parental teaching and the parental backing of what's being preached, I trust, listen, you are accountable for a lot and you'll be a fool to walk away from that, because if you leave that, It's not an if situation. You leave that, you will cleave to another lifestyle. You will cleave to something else or to someone else. And listen, you say, well, I'm just going to go out here and explore. I'm just going to do some leaving. I'm just going to kind of get away from the Bible and all this preaching and going to church and reading the Word of God. And I'm just going to kind of get away from that. And I'm just going to go find myself. I'm just going to kind of explore and see what's out there. Brother Craddock gave a testimony Wednesday night of a boy that I know personally, and he knows. And that boy told me to my face, he said, "Preacher, when I was in school, I never tasted alcohol. I'd never done anything." He said, "I got saved early in life," and he said, "I was living for Jesus." And he said, "The devil convinced me that I didn't have a testimony because I couldn't stand up and say that I used to drink and I used to this and I used to that." And he thought, what I'm going to have to do to be effective as a Christian, I'm going to have to leave and cleave, get me a testimony, get me some notches in my belt, so to speak, and then I'm going to come back over here and I'm going to be a powerful influence for Jesus. Guess what? It doesn't work. It hasn't worked. He's been in and out of jail, been in and out of prison, and maybe even in jail now. His life is ruined. His life is a wreck. And I'm going to tell you this. The chances of you leaving what you've cleaved to go back and cleave to what you left is going to be very slim. It's better to stay right with God than it is to try to get right with God. It's better to stay in this zone here of the law, letting the Word of God be paramount in your life. Let the Word of God be, priority in your life. Wrap your life around the Word of God. Wrap the Word of God around your life. Amen. Be entwined and entangled with the Word of God. Amen. To where, listen, if there tries to be a separation between you and the Word of God, it'll kill you. Let the Word of God be in use to the point that if there tries to be a separation and a neglect and a leaving of the Word, the law of God, that it would pull your heart out. They that forsake the law praise the wicked. Amen. So we talked about that. And I'm going to tell you why it's necessary for you to forsake the law before you can praise the wicked. And I'm about done. Before you can do that, I'll tell you why. The wicked, come on now, listen. The wicked don't want you around if the law is in your life. The wicked don't want you around as long as the law is in your life. Not just in your hand. How many people do you think here in Rogersville would want me to show up at their parties if I come walking in with a Bible in my hand? It would send cardiac arrest to the party. They wouldn't want me there. You know what? I never had to tell one friend. Now look, buddy, you know, you're pulling me down and you're just really hurting me spiritually, and I'm just going to have to break fellowship with you. Not one. Because if you go with God's Word and let that Word of God not just be a Bible on the shelf, but principles of your life, the lawless bunch, the wicked bunch, will not want you around, because you will be light and they are darkness, and light and darkness have no fellowship one with another. Salt does not have any fellowship with corruption. Amen. Marry yourself to this book. And this, I said it this morning, sin will keep you from the book, and the book will keep you from sin. God's Word. If the devil can get this out of your life, he can work into your life almost anything else. And I'm not trying to be negative, I'm a realist. It's just a fact. I know, and you know, I know of homes that are destroyed because one or the other of the marriage couple got away from the Word of God. And when you get away from the Word of God, leave that, you're going to cleave to something. And if your home is built on the Word of God, God's law, and there's one of you, one of the mates, one of them in the marriage starts leaving that, then there's a big gap comes in that marriage. And before you know it, one, my friend, is going to be cleaving to something or to someone that is forbidden. Are we listening? They that forsake the law praise the wicked. And if you, listen, I'm about done. I'm not done, but I'm about done. If you have to lay this down, if you have to lay that down to fellowship with this one, does it take much sense to see what's happening in your life? If someone, listen, come on now, I'm preaching it about as tight and straight as I can. If someone in your life does not want this in your life, that person is put in your life as an agent from the depths of hell. If you don't want this Bible, you don't want me. Let that be the message that'll come out of your life. If you don't love this Bible and respect and appreciate the God of this Bible that reached down His hand and saved me, hallelujah, from sin and from hell, if you don't love that in my life, then you're not a part of my life. I will be a friend to you for as friendly as concerned. I will help you if I can. I will pray for you, but I will never lay the Bible down to get on your level. Never. Never lay the Bible down. Never forsake the law because to deal with anybody. I didn't have to lay the law. Listen, I didn't have to lay the law down to get my wife. I didn't have to quit preaching to get my wife. I didn't have to become some worldly carnal heathen to get my wife. The devil will tell some of you young people, you've got to get loose before you can get married. There ain't nobody going to want you if you're one of them Bible-toting women. Nobody's going to want you if you're one of them talk about Jesus boys. Nobody's going to want you. That is a lie. There are some young people, my friend, that is looking for somebody that loves God. Amen. Not every young person's looking for a low-down, good-for-nothing heathen. I know young ladies in their 20s, and some of them even in their 30s, that's never been married. They've expressed to me, preacher, there's nothing out there. You know why? Because there's boys. There's boys that think they've got to be sorry, no count heathens, to get a girl. And there, listen, like Brother Andy Wells told me, he said, preacher, he said, I know girls, I mean numbers of girls that are pretty, attractive, godly, spiritual, devoted, dedicated, that my friend would love to have a family that would serve God, but there's no boys interested in a spirit-filled girl. Yeah. Forsake the law. Forsake the law. Go get you one. Yeah. Walk away from God and God's Word, preaching the law. Go get you one. They're out there. They're a dime a dozen. They're everywhere. They're piles of them. Go get you one. Have you ever wondered why there's piles of them? You ever wondered why there's piles of them? Amen. It's because most of them has already been through the pile. Amen. They've already been out there and amen, and they have no regard and no respect for the others. And you know what some of them do? They'll come to the house of God to get one of our girls that we preach to and that we've tried to train up and try to raise up for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. That'll fire me up, and I'm going to tell you right quick it will. Amen. Yeah. We've got a whole bunch of girls here in our church. And I'm telling you, we do. And there'll be some sorry no camp boys going to try to get them. Are you listening? And this sweet preacher might get riled up. And I know some parents that'll probably get riled up with us. Amen. Hey man, they're not going to come in here and look like they need to be sprayed, dipped, and wormed and get one of our girls, amen, that we've invested a lot of time in to pray for them and preach to them. And parents, my friend, try to train them up in the way they should go. I had to let some heathen come in here? No, friend. That's right. Keep yourself clean. Keep yourself available. Fall in love with Jesus and let Him take care of the one you cleave to. They that forsake the law praise the wicked. The wicked are not only praised by you, but the wicked will praise you. Because the birds of a feather flock together. And if you leave what is right to cleave to them or that or whatever, my friend, then whatever you're cleaving to is wrong. But I like him, preacher. It don't matter if you do like him. I know a lot of people that likes beer and alcohol. And that's not of God. I know a lot that's on drugs, and don't you think they don't like it? Brother Bob, do you deal with drug heads and dope heads and alcoholics and all that daily? Do you think it's because they hate it? Every time they pop a cap, man, I hate this. Man, I hate this. No, the only thing they hate about it is when it's empty. Are you listening? But I like him. You better be careful who you like. If they're not married, we're on the young people already. God help us. I can't hardly preach a message without getting on them. Amen. Maybe that's the reason we got several. They know I love them and they know I'm going to preach the truth to them. If they're not marriage quality, don't fool with them. Don't even give them your cell phone number. Amen. If they're sorry, no count, don't even have enough good sense to make moral decisions, you don't want them. Too lazy, my friend, to work, you don't want them. Amen. Go by the house and they're on the couch watching television or playing some game while Granny's outside mowing the yard, you better not get them. You'll be keeping their hind ends up. Amen. You'll be mowing the yard. You'll be bringing home the paycheck. You'll be feeding them. They'll be a lazy couch potato. Amen. Amen. That's the truth, isn't it? See, I don't know about all that. That's a little bit too hard. You think that one out of two marriages ending in divorce? I've never talked to any that's went through that that said, you know what, preacher, this is wonderful. This is absolutely wonderful. No, but I've had hundreds in 29 years to tell me, preacher, I wish I'd have heard that preaching when I was growing up. Oh, preacher, I wish I'd have heard that. I wish I'd had a man of God in my life that would have preached the law to me. I wish I'd have had that in my life. I may not have made the choices of cleaving to some things that I did. Be careful what you cleave to. Be careful what you're interested in. Be careful what direction you're going in, because it is very evident that if I'm in the cleaving zone over here, that it's very evident that I've left something very valuable, the law. Let's all stand on our feet. Heavenly Father, take the message. Lord, use it for your glory. You birthed it and are birthing it in my heart even as we go. Lord, this message is getting bigger as we go. And Lord, I believe that you're sending it to our church. My heart's heavy that numbers of our people are not here today. I would love for our entire church to be on the hearing and receiving end of the message, God, that you are sending to us. And Lord, no doubt, Father, you're allowing this message to be an extended message over a period of time to get us and to help us and to speak to us. Lord, I'm in a day, and I know that I'm in a day, Lord, when preachers has quit preaching. What preaching that I try to do, I find very few that's trying to do it with me. And that puts a pressure on me to change. Puts a pressure on me to silence. What I've been preaching today is not popular. What I've been preaching today, Lord, though it is the Word of God, I have not gotten out of the Word of God at all. What I've preached today, Lord, the flesh does not like it. And I know the wicked will never praise me for it. But I'm not after the praise of men. I'm not after the approval of men. I'm after the smile of God. The approval and the praise of God. Father, I pray that you'll take the message. Drive it home. Let there be people in this church with personal convictions, personal commitment to serve you and to live for you. Have your will and your way in this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.